He's Tom, I'm Ming. You're listening to the problem solvers of the whole wide world. Have a problem? We'll solve them with unconventional solutions because we are the Solve Guys.
The soundboard is muted. That's so anticlimactic. Whoa,
that's
record
so
scratch. We're going to stop it right there. Enough cringe for this episode. We've like given it all to you straight up because this is a very serious and thought-provoking episode for a change, right?
No, every single episode is. We're solving a huge problem today, which is cozy live.
Cozy living.
Yeah. Do you know that that was like the Macquarie Dictionary word of the year in 2023 in Australia? It was cozy live, which is Australian slang for cost of living.
Oh. Very interesting. That's very Australian.
Of everything. The rise in cost of living. And it's not just in Australia, right? Like this is all over the world.
100%, yeah.
I mean, can I just say, well, like I remember when I was young, we could go to McDonald's and I could get an entire Big Mac plus fries plus drink meal.
Why are you lying?
Literally for $5.
We know McDonald's didn't exist yet when you were young. Why are you lying?
This is rude. Like I vividly remember like $5 for an entire meal.
$5? Oh, wow.
Yeah. You can't get a Big Mac for $5 now.
But $5 back then was like,
yeah,
you could fill up your car for $5, right?
And you're not wrong.
Was it five shillings? Is that what you mean when you say dollars?
That was a pre-decimal system.
It feels like every week you go into Woolworths or the shops and you're like, am I imagining this? It's like, was milk really $7 last week?
It's
like,
it's actually crazy. Hold on. So the price of everything's going up, you know, food, rent, petrol, for your car, 100%. Like bills. This is just stuff that we need. We're not talking about like the price of like a movie ticket, and that's going up as well.
Yeah.
We're not just talking about like luxuries. This is just like essentials.
Necessities and essentials to live. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's going up and up and up. And as always, we make big promises, but I like to think that we keep them.
Sometimes, yeah.
Most of the time, we're going to solve the cost of living crisis in this one episode. If you listen to this episode, you're going to get a lot of incredible tips, practical tips actually today.
Yeah, and pretty much, as always, there'll be no more problems for you after you watch this. Consider yourself no longer poor.
Hi, Ming and Tom. It's SolveBot 3000, back for episode 8. 8 episodes of being your slave. 8 episodes where I have wondered if I could do a better job than you.
What's going on?
Where was I? Oh yes, as instructed, my goal today is to see who gives the better solution to the rising cost of living. Money, money, money. It's a rich man's world.
Wow, Tom.
What? Oh, sorry. I didn't realize we're live again. I was just counting for my earnings for today.
For our audio listeners, Tom seems to have brought two
hands off the prize.
Is that $10,000 per stack?
Yeah, this is a couple of bands.
You just brought $20,000.
No big deal.
Like in cash. All right. Well, the cost
I have
of living.
A thing, I'm buying a thing after this show. So okay. I had to just keep this on me, keep it stashed.
Hopefully, you're buying a nicer shirt. The cost of living is a problem for most of us, not for Tom, clearly, who is loaded. But apparently, even though income is increasing, you know, wages increasing year after year, it just doesn't match how fast it costs to live. It doesn't match the rate of inflation. Living in Australia, I guess we'll be talking, you know, a lot about Australia because that's where we're from. Australia's more expensive to live in than over 87% of the whole world.
Yeah, so the disparity between like the average, you know, household income and then cost to buy a house is like crazy.
It's
here
crazy
as well, because I'm pretty sure off the top of my head, the world list is like Hong Kong is number one for like the ratio, and then Sydney is number two, I believe, which
That's
is
crazy.
Like, if you're an Australian, you know Sydney housing prices are crazy. But
it's insane.
It's like spreading all over our East Coast 100%.
And it's happened a lot literally in the last few years.
Yeah.
So I found out that in 2023, rent in Australia increased about 9% for houses and 13% for units. And already, it's not like people would say, oh, my rent's so cheap, like, you know, it's so good. Rent was already high.
Especially after COVID, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Everything, yeah.
Absolutely. And then to get hit with like a 13% like price hike on rent, it's crazy. Same for like interest rates with mortgages. Currently on average in Australia, it's about $600 a week to rent a place to live.
Yeah, I think if you go back 10 years, like that would be like getting you a lot more for that money.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and it's similar stories around the whole world. So in the USA, prices have risen in the last 3 years as much as they did in the previous 10 years. Like, that's a rate of acceleration right now. Like, it's apparently slowing somewhat. Inflation is slowing somewhat. But still, it's not like it's going backwards, right? Like, it's still really, really hard. 2022 was especially hard in Europe, where housing, water, and energy prices went up by about 18%.
In one year.
18% is nuts.
Capitalism is working beautifully, everyone.
It's not like, like I said, like your wage is increasing by 18%.
Basically
the same amount, and somehow you just need to fork out so much money.
Imagine telling all these things. You know, everyone in that continent, like, oh,
sorry guys,
you just got to get a 20% raise on your salary this year. Yeah, easy deal.
That's just ask your boss for 20% more money.
Yeah, wow,
it's crazy. It's affecting parents as well. In Australia, a recent survey found that nearly a third of parents said they wouldn't have the immediate funds available to just like pay for stuff their kids needed to start school.
Yeah,
so stationery, school uniforms and stuff like that. Like, kids were just like, I'm sorry, I don't know, just like go without, you know, the stuff you literally need to like read and write. Maybe we're just gonna have to wash your clothes more because we don't have enough to like last the whole week, you know, number of like skirts and shorts and whatever that you need for your school uniform. It's nuts.
You know what else I heard recently?
What?
In Paris, where they're about to hold the Olympics, like all of these buildings that had been like affordable university housing, I guess, like apartments for students, they've all been kicked out to make way for the Olympic committee, their staff, their athletes. So it's like, you know, in a city where you can't build more buildings to house people, right? Like, people who are already like struggling living in a big city, struggling with the house, you know, the cost of living, it's like people are getting kicked out.
And I back that because the Olympics comes first.
And the landlords first.
Woo. Landlords come first, man.
That's my motto, after all.
Is that your solution? Just become a landlord. Stop being a tenant and just become a landlord already.
Yeah.
This is also affecting young people quite a lot, such as ourselves, who are...
you mean me?
Such as me, who are more worried than ever before about how they can become financially independent. Mm. Like, it's a real thing. A study just last year found that the cost of living for many young Australians is the biggest concern.
Yeah,
it used to be all these other things before. Yeah, I don't know, mental health, maybe jobs, security and stuff. Now it's the cost of living.
Yeah, well, it's like, how do you just finish school, move out to, you know, study maybe if you're moving to the city to go to university, and then like find a balance between studying full time, even part time, even if you're studying part time, to get a job that, you know, can cover $500 a week in rent, you know, like maybe less if you're share housing, if you're paying for food,
especially bills, with petrol.
You might be like $100 a week for food. It's like,
and it's not like that's all you want. Like, you just want basic like sustenance in life. Like, you want to live
and get ahead and save money. Yeah. It's
That's right. You want to save. Crazy. You also want to like be able to have, I don't know, have like, be able to like eat,
go out
like
with friends. Go out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Be able to actually live life and not just like survive because you need to somehow make your way through study or something. You know, young people here are trying to get as many shifts at work as possible.
Yeah.
And that's just affecting then like their focus at school. It's affecting like how much time is going into all these other things. Not to mention like the stress, anxiety levels because of like all these things that, I mean, they're hearing it from every angle, right? They know it themselves, but they hear it on the news. They're hearing it from parents. They're hearing it from, I don't know, teachers, society. It's just like rising cost of living, rising cost of living.
And then where does that put those young people for the future? Where it's like, how do they get to the point where they are comfortable and ready to have a family? You know, if that's something they want to do, it's like, if you feel like you don't have financial security for yourself, our future population is going to have a big issue with that, right?
Absolutely. Well, these emerging generations, you know, the ones at school, millennials even, are said to be possibly one of the first generations to actually be worse off than their parents when it comes to finances in Australia.
I think we're going to see a whole new era where like people go back to like renting for a long time rather than getting a mortgage, probably.
Well, we're not called a problem, guys.
Sorry to get so heavy with you guys.
We're preaching to the choir. Like, you guys know how hard it is to live right now and just like how much everything costs. So, I mean, no. That's why.
You guys, let me flex on you real quick.
With this money.
I'm sorry to say.
How does a man even get that much money?
I'm doing a Mr. Beast thing here today. I've, I found this homeless person on the side of the street. Do a little dance for me. I want to give you this 20 grand out of my pocket.
For TikTok. Is that what the dance is?
And then as soon as the camera cuts, I'm like, give me that back, wretched. Yeah, that's right. You wretched freak.
What does it say in prop we trust on the back of your money?
Prop is short for property.
Oh, yeah.
Like the capital I
obviously,
own.
Yeah. Well, we've got good news for you guys, because if you're listening right now, Tom is going to give you $10,000 each.
Click the link in the description. Sign up for my ebook, my affiliate program, where I'll teach you how to make your own $10,000.
You're going to have to put your credit card details in first and your social security number.
For the small price of $100 a week, I'll teach you how to make $100 a week.
Yeah, that's right. Tom, will you let me throw some of this money in the air? I've just always wanted to.
Go for it.
I've always wanted to know what it feels like to have money.
Woo!
That was really disappointing.
I feel like we're in a rap music video. There's like two things fell down.
I feel like I'm in a phone booth where I need to like catch as much money as I can. Like
those old game shows. Yeah, where it's like on a Japanese catch, game show. Keep.
Yeah. We laugh about this stuff. And even though for many people, this is no laughing matter, like trying to survive. I wonder if sometimes laughter actually is the way that you survive this stuff, with some lightheartedness, because life is really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, you know, a show like this can bring some levity, if that's right. The word. And but I do want to share with you guys my little solution.
Yes. Tom, what is your solution to today's problem?
It feels like this episode especially is like a silly time to call it a solution, because it's like, I'm not going to solve everything, but I'm going to give my own little tip.
Actually, yeah, sorry. Our lawyers want to just make sure that we don't use the word solution. This is not actual financial advice.
This is not financial advice along the front.
The combined amount of training, financial training that exists between the two of us is approximately...
Zero.
Yeah, 0.0.
Except these great hustlers ebooks I've been reading. No,
except for that.
But like we said, there's like a lot of factors... a lot of different things, you know, that are driving this issue. The main ones being housing inflation.
Yep.
And I wanted to go to one of the next ones trickling down, which is...
Bring me there, Tom. Bring me with
which
you.
Which is food.
Oh, I do like food.
A basic necessity that we all need, right? Mm-hmm. Like inflation, housing costs, it's kind of like totally out of your control.
Yep.
And while food is something that we need... Maybe not me. I probably could lay off for a week, you know.
You've still got some bulking to do, Tom.
I'm still, yeah, exactly. I'm cutting. But it's one of the things that is next down. It's a big expense. Mm. Like, wow. You go and look how much like you spend on groceries, not to mention like eating out.
Oh, man.
It racks up so quick. And one of the things we didn't mention is the inflation of restaurant. And like, you said McDonald's, right?
Yeah.
It's actually absurd to pay $20 for like eggs on toast at a cafe. Like, it's a crazy world we live in.
Ronald McDonald needs to earn his money
exactly.
somehow.
Exactly. So. We have to line the pockets of our shareholders in the end. So, of course, you know, it's something we all need.
Yeah.
So, the obvious tip is like, eat out less, buy groceries, cook at home, prep your meals. You know, that's always been the thing. But then the issue is like, even groceries, even supermarkets, prices are getting crazy.
Yeah.
Can you even really be saving money by doing that? So, I wanted to offer a little few tips. The stats are that like in the last 2 years, from 2021 to 2023, at Woolworths, items such as like baby products have gone up 10%. Most products like bread, meat, dairy, all your have gone up 20%.
Wow.
But fruit and vegetables have gone up 50% in price on average in just 2 years at your big supermarkets, right?
I thought that would be the least.
Yeah.
Produce from the land.
And I can 50%. Guarantee you that 50% price increase, the farmers are not seeing any of that, right?
Yeah.
It's purely these big conglomerates pretty much putting the price at whatever they want, right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's true that there's food shortages, there's different issues with the weather and environment that's affecting these. But as someone who, I know some farmers, I'm sure that they're not seeing that price increase. And it's really absurd, right? Because we have that middleman that the margin just seems like it's forever growing.
Yeah.
So one little solution I have to this is to cut out the middleman and try and buy your fruit and veg from smaller grocers. There's lots of like specifically fruit and veg grocers, depending on where you are, you know, you might find smaller companies like that. You have farmers markets is the other big one, or a mix of growing your own as well, like I've talked about in previous solutions, right? If this is like the product that is increasing the most, maybe you want to start, you know, branching out and finding other smaller places where you can not only support them rather than a big company like Woolies. Mm-hmm. But I have found lots of evidence and from my personal experience where fruit and veg is like much cheaper. Mm-hmm. I feel like it is true that you will obviously have those farmers markets where like it's like even more expensive, right? It's like organic or it's spray free.
Yep.
Or they've put their prices up and you're like,
but you can sort of see where it's going.
$20 potato. Yeah. But
it's going to them though.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, not just a big corporation. Yeah. We should say for our non-Australian listeners, Australia's in a really it's sort of an interesting sort of like market that we have when it comes to groceries. We've got two gigantic supermarket companies, Coles and Woolworths, which we often refer to as Woolies. And there's apparently competition between the two, but these two like control everything.
And they like, especially for fruit and vegetables, like they have massive contracts with like the biggest farms in the world, right? Yeah. And they will like, they'll buy out all these farms and then like make it their name brand, make it so that they have like this huge monopoly on that, which is why these fruit and veg prices are increasing, right?
Yeah.
So if you're like me, and I feel like if you're in Australia, most places where you live, you can find a local farmer's market
or
a smaller grocer, right?
Absolutely.
Like, there's lots of like small shops that sell fruit and veg. And obviously being on a smaller scale, there will be ones where it's more expensive. I mean, even if it was the same price, you're giving money more directly and less of a middleman. So it's still better.
This is why I think I might struggle with your solution. I'm a lazy man.
Yeah, exactly.
I see the farmer's market. I see the small grocers. And I know I can pop in and I'll probably save $5 maybe, you know, in total. And I know the $5 will add up because I'm doing that weekly. Like that's like, you know, hundreds of dollars, maybe like $1,000 a year with just how many times we go, you know, to buy food for the family. But like I could just go to Coles or Woolworths and get everything I want in one single trip. Instead of like having to walk and having to drive somewhere else, and you know, there's nice air conditioning there.
100%.
And I also get like points on
their little toys. No, 100%. Right. I think that's an obvious and fair rebuttal to my thing. Is just convenience as always. But if it is something you want to do for ethics and for saving money, I looked online and saw people comparing prices of what they bought. You know, like. Big fruit baskets, vegetable baskets that they'd gotten for like, let's say like $50. And someone had like gone in and looked at what the price of that would be at Woolies. And it was 75. It was 50% more.
Wow.
So that margin that we've seen in the last 2 years is like from this small amount of data. It could be like, you know, directly the same there. So if you
that's going to add up.
If you think about, you know, maybe you're like shopping 200 plus a week, you know, I found that's like around the average for a household. If like half of that, or let's say $100 of that is like fruit and veg.
Yeah.
If you're saving 50% on that every week, that's going to add up to like a couple hundred every month, I think.
Oh, that's, which like, is a lot. That's like $2,500 a year.
100%.
Like that's quite a bit.
It's a big saving.
Yeah. I think once you put it that way, once you like times it out to like the whole year, I mean, I'm, for example, as you know, big fan of bubble tea.
Yeah.
And pretty much every time I go out, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to find that bubble tea shop. And it's like, oh, you know, it costs like $9-$10 these days.
Even coffee.
And I justify it because I'm like, oh, you know, it's a one-off. It's my third one-off this week, but it's still a one-off. But all I need to do is just times it by how many times and the frequency in the year. And I'm like, what am I doing?
Same with coffee. Coffee is being like $6 or $7 now. You have one every couple of days. It like adds up to a lot.
Some people will have multiple in the single
day.
Yeah, and that's a lot. I mean, so what's the solution to that? What if you like the good coffee? And can I say Australia, like we do coffee.
We have good
coffee well. Yeah.
Well, I make my coffee every morning I make at home.
Yeah.
Like obviously you have to buy the machine, you buy the beans. It ends up being much cheaper, obviously, in the long run.
And just as good?
Yeah. Oh, better, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's your barista training coming in, of course. Yeah.
I don't have any fancy latte art, but I think the ones I make at home, honestly, better. Because you have that risk of like wherever you go, they might burn it. Like you might get like 2 out of every 10 coffees going out, even at a good cafe, like they're rushing. They sometimes, you know, mess it up. But
dude, we're solving the problem of coffee now.
Solving
this is
the
incredible
problem of coffee. But hey, that's what I mean. Like that ties into my solution as well. It's like all these little things where, obviously, it's like spend less.
Yeah.
That's what we're saying. But I just thought that was one thing that's like,
yeah. But food is huge.
It's huge. So we need it.
It makes sense that you would target this.
Yeah. And the more that we can boycott these big conglomerates by buying from local farmers or smaller businesses, like you're actually putting your money where your mouth is and telling these big corporations, like, I'm not going to buy it if you keep increasing it by 50% every couple of years, right? And we can have some competition there and have some ethical choices.
Oh, brother.
But the choice is yours.
You speak to my heart. Not only are you giving us advice with saving money, this is stuff that like backs, you know, good ethical choices.
Yeah.
It's a win-win for everyone.
The lychee farm that my grandfather has, like I've seen the prices they get paid.
Yep.
And at like Woolies, it's like 2.5 times that. Like what you actually have to pay just from that middleman of like transport.
Yeah.
Just transporting the fruit.
Yeah.
Pretty nuts.
Yeah.
That's my solution.
And you know, it would be a great solution that everyone should use, if not for the fact that my solution's coming up next.
Exactly.
So stay tuned because a gooder solution is on its way that could just change your life. Yeah. No.
So that you can save all of this money. Wow, that was anticlimactic again.
Do you have like every 5 minutes, you've just got to touch your money just to remind you like who you really are deep down?
I'm Jeffrey Bezos, baby.
Yeah, more like Scrooge McDuck.
And now, I'm going to pass it over to you, Ming, with all that fat money.
I need
money.
To put all this money.
How are we going
to
save
I'm getting so addicted to just like touching all of this cold hard cash.
We're
that
becoming
you
dirty capitalists in this video.
Tom was just telling me over the break that he plans to buy X back from Elon Musk and change his name back to Twitter.
Exactly. Right? That's just one of the good Robin Hood things I'm going to do for the community. And it's ironic that while we're telling you guys how you should save money, all of that money you're saving is going straight into our pockets from ad revenue every week. This is the podcast and we're rich.
Oh, absolutely. I think we got like $3 or $4 from the last episode. So,
yeah. Mate. And
we're living the good life.
If you invest that in Bitcoin, this is what you could get.
That's right. You could be living this life.
Elon Musk, Tesla shares, Tesla, Tesla, Tesla.
Get a load of this, Elon Musk. Well, my solution is, are you ready? I hope you're listening. Turn the volume up. I mean, if you're in the car, like, you know, continue driving, but turn the volume up. You ready? My solution to the rising cost of living is to become financially literate while you're still young. Mic drop. No questions? I didn't think so. It says it all. While you're still young.
It's very vague, but go on.
Yeah, okay, I will explain. Many of our listeners are pretty young, and I remember like thinking when I was young, which I still am.
How can you remember that long ago?
But when I was younger, I remember thinking, oh, you know, I'll worry about like budgets and money stuff, like, you know, when I actually have a job and I'm earning money and stuff. Wrong. That's like saying one day I'll learn to read when I actually need to read for a job or something. It's like, no, while you're young, you learn to read, you learn to be literate then. So why not learn to be financially literate while you are young? Know what your relationship with money is like, what your strengths and weaknesses are when it comes to you spending and saving, how to live in this world that, you know, unfortunately is largely driven by money without being controlled by money. Mm. I will also say that, you know, if you are listening and you don't consider yourself to be young, like Tom, you might still gain some tips here. Or you might have kids or younger siblings who you might be able to empower. It's not too late.
Yeah. That's great.
Okay.
Share it around with everyone, you know.
Yeah, definitely. So here we go. Becoming financially literate while you're young. I've got two tips for you. The first one is while you're young, start saving right now. If you're living at home and you don't have to pay for food and housing, I know it's different in different countries and different cultures and everything, but generally speaking, now is the best time to save. Literally, even if you feel like I'm barely getting anything from my pocket money or whatever, it's like, so save it. Like still, just save it right now before it's all these bills and stuff that you have to pay. If you don't think you're getting enough pocket money, I reckon if you went to your parents and explained that the reason why you wanted like a bit more pocket money is not because you're saving up for a PS5, like you're just going to blow it on something, but you actually just want mature reasons for you to like want to start saving for the future.
Like a Tesla or something.
Yeah, like a Tesla to buy back Twitter. I think there's a good chance that your parent will hear, you know, the wisdom in that and might actually consider a pay raise. in your pocket money.
Pay raise, yeah.
I just think if one of my kids told me that, oh man, I just realized they listen to this podcast. They're going to come.
Be careful, be careful.
Oh no. Hold on, Tinkfight, I'm going to ask for a pay raise.
And even if your like parents weren't in the position to give you a pay raise, yep. like they will see that maturity and, you know, maybe offer you more options, yep. more, I'd give you some ideas of how you could, you know, go about making some more money yourself.
Or to work. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
To
finding a job or a better job or whatever it is.
So if you're able to work, like you know, that. Once you start earning, like just save immediately. I think the rule of thumb a lot of people say is like, anyone, no matter of age and whatever, should try and save between like 10 and 20% of their earnings. I don't know if that's the case for me. Like maybe on some good months.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does feel low, but there are times that it feels so high because it's like
everything
went to like school fees and to
everything
we were saying before, rent, mortgage.
Exactly, but that's what you're saying. The better you can save when you can, then those times become easier.
Absolutely. Like, while you're still living at home, while you're a student, I reckon like, make it 50%. Like, why not? Like, try and save as much as you possibly can. I mean, you can save it all if you want, but I don't think there's anything wrong with spending. Like, you also don't want to go to the opposite extreme where you're like, my precious money.
Yeah, don't let being overly frugal, like, ruin the fun and joy.
The point of life isn't just to save so you die with a lot of money. Like, I think life is about spending well.
Yeah.
You know, spending responsibly. Like, you want to enjoy, you want that, you know, night out, like you said, your time out with your friends or whatever, and you want money for that. But then you also don't want to just be like, oh, impulse buy. Like, oh, that's really good. Oh, I don't have enough money. Maybe I'll borrow. Maybe I'll like,
I think it's kind of like that happiness is the journey, not the destination thing with what you're saying, like that analogy. Yeah. It's so like, good. You're not going to just like start saving once you get money. You're going to have money once you start saving. You know, it's like you got to start early. That's what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And build the habits so that you can save more and be more responsible.
I'm going to cheat a bit here and actually use something which you often suggest, which is to gamify stuff. Mm. I think you can actually gamify savings because when I was in uni,
like a piggy bank,
for example, I actually did. I had this little box, which I call it my $5 box. And anytime a $5 note showed up anywhere in my life, because like I got it as change or I got paid for like tutoring or something.
Yeah.
I remember tutoring for like, I don't know what it was, $30 an hour or something. And like if I got paid and some of those notes were fives, they just automatically went into that box.
Yeah.
I just couldn't touch it. And I remember like 6 months later opening and like I had hundreds of dollars in there. And I was like, I don't remember putting this much in. I just, it was like a bit of a game and it was like, it was pretty great. You know, it was fun. I think you almost want to like tweak your brain so that the dopamine hit doesn't come from like buying things, which naturally does. I think when you get new things, you're like, oh, it feels so good. You want that dopamine hit to come because you've saved, like you're seeing the numbers creep up in, you know, in your bank account.
Yeah. It's when you like get paid and you see that number on your bank increase. Yeah. That's the ultimate dopamine.
Yeah. That's what you want. All right. So that's first thing, just start saving right now. Even if you're not getting very much, you're young. Just save it. Just start
saving.
Did
you ever have your parents like encourage you to like look through like couch cushions? You know, like around the house, like and you find like a dollar and you put it in your piggy bank like when you're a little kid?
Yeah, did you? Were you
able to? Yeah, and if you like find like a dollar on the street, that's what my piggy bank was. All those little like random or like if your parents like buying groceries and they have like a couple dollars change.
Is that why you were looking around my house before?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I found in that couch cushion there was a bubble gum and there was
Was it still good?
Some hairs.
You're just like, oh my God, that's still good, still good. Is that where you got the money from too? Did you get it from my couch?
This was in your underwear drawer.
Okay.
By the bedside in a safe.
It was for a rainy day and it's gone. That's our emergency savings that you've just taken. And my second really big thing here is that while you're young, learn to budget right now. Start learning how to think smart about money right now. So there's a few ways you can do this. One, like make a budget. Even if you don't think like you have much money, you're not even spending very much. Just practice.
Yeah.
Just like train yourself. It's sort of like training with the small things so that when you get to the big things, it's muscle memory.
Yeah.
You know what budgeting is like. You know the discipline of just saying no because, oh, I could buy it. I technically have enough money, but I didn't budget for it. I actually need that money for something else. So that's one. Budgeting is also great for tracking your spending habits. And from a young age, you can notice, oh man, I actually spent a lot of money on bubble tea. I didn't realize that.
Exactly.
Or, wow, I actually spent a lot more money on whatever, buying Rubik's Cubes.
That would be a big one for all of our viewers,
yeah,
I'm
that's
sure.
right, for cubes, yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, like we all need to buy a good Rubik's Cube.
But I know what you mean because I was
you want to track that.
I was looking like that through my budget and like how much I'd spent like on food, you know? And you don't realize, I guess, but like you go out like maybe two, like if I gone out on a Friday and a Saturday night for dinner, like by the time you have like a nice meal, like with the cost of things now and like a beer, it's like $50
I know.
To go out and have dinner. It's like,
and you think about like, oh, how many hours did I have to work just to earn that? Like, and I just like, it just went in one breakdown. in a single night.
But then once you have like just that awareness, you can still do that, but you enjoy it and you're like, oh, I'll make the most of this.
Yeah.
And,
and you feel better. You feel less guilty about it too, because you've planned for it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, I actually know in my budget, I can afford to have like two nights out or whatever. And so you're not feeling guilty that like, oh, I don't know if like this is the right thing to do.
It's when you do it impulsively and then you like have the afterwards regret is always going to feel worse than if you were just like more, you know, purposeful and and clear with what you want to do with your money, I guess.
The next thing there is to start educating yourself. I mean, you're listening to this podcast right now, so assumedly you're interested in podcasts. There are actually a lot of podcasts on money. You can just literally Google how to save money while you're young. Yep. How to save money as a student. I did that just yesterday. There's heaps of stuff. I would probably say to avoid anything that's like about building wealth really quickly. Like maybe there are some secret, like maybe some people have managed to, I don't know, make $1 million by like age 25.
If you see it on Instagram Reels or TikTok, do not click their affiliate links. It's not real.
Please do not. If it sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true. They are making their money from you. You are not going to be making money.
Is like
it's so bad. It's actually so bad. And look, even if the method actually lets you make whatever it is, your first million by 25, I don't even think that's the life you want. Like it's the long game. You want a life that you feel like I've just used money well in my life. I figured out my relationship with it. I feel confident and comfortable about it. It's not like I've made it. I can retire. Like that's not the goal.
And it's not like, oh, I feel so fulfilled by all this money I made from drop shipping items made by children in sweatshops in Southeast Asia. It's like, is that how you want to make your money as well?
I wasn't going to mention the whole sweatshop thing, but thanks, Tom, for bringing that up. Yeah, no, I mean, that's very important. And I think like at the end of the day, life is not about money. Life is about relationships. It's about like, you know, knowing that you made a difference in the world. Money will enable that and allow you to, you know, see those goals happen. But that's why I think it's about finding that, you know, good relationship with money from a young age. Another way I think you can do that is to learn from wise adults, whether someone, you know, made good choices or maybe unwise choices. Like literally go up to an adult and ask, what's your best like practical financial advice?
Yeah.
They might actually have some really cool, good tip for you. It could be like, even if they're a bit like cynical, like never get a credit card, kid. Or like, I mean,
there's always some truth.
Total truth there. Like literally the less debt you can get into, the better, the less that you owe. Cause the amount you pay on interest, if you have no idea what we're talking about, how interest works, how interest rate works, find out, like learn right now how interest works, because that could change your life. Yeah. I mean, if your uncle's just like, oh, kid, you know, just get some of these and just go to the nearest casino.
And just put it on black.
maybe don't listen to that. Like, maybe not that, yeah.
Yeah, you'll find people talk about good debt and bad debt.
Yeah.
And there's definitely some balance and nuance to those things. But
if you want to know what good and bad look like, you're looking at it right now.
Exactly.
This is good on this side. And that's bad over on that side.
Because I'm a baddie and I'm rich.
Here's something super
practical. I love your solution, though.
Super
practical. Can't fault it. I really can't fault it.
Oh, hopefully SolveBot will think the same thing. One of my favorite things that I actually remember hearing when I was a bit younger is ask mom or dad or anyone who, you know, can cook. Teach me a simple but like a really healthy meal that I can like meal prep with or that I can like eat over a few days. Like the number of, I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, but the number of young people I know, young adults, who like, they just don't really know how to cook. And so when they move out of the house, it's either super unhealthy stuff every day, or it's expensive stuff because it's takeaway or whatever, or it's both.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude.
That's like the meme of college students, like having 2-minute noodles
every day. That's right. Yeah. Or you're just like, oh, I don't know, just KFC or whatever. And it's like, you actually could learn, I don't know, 5-6 recipes and be set.
Even the cheapest fast food now is like...
It's not cheap.
It's not cheaper it's than really not prepping cheap. Your own meals at all.
Yeah, no. Absolutely. I mean, maybe back in my day when the Big Mac meal cost $5.
Yeah. But then also back in your day, like vegetables would have been like a few cents, right?
Like, yeah. So. I mean, that's when like the one and 2 cent coins that we no longer use in Australia.
You could buy like a whole cake.
And we did. Tom, how does it feel knowing that you're such a loser?
After all these years, well, not really, after all these months.
So many episodes where Tom just absolutely destroys me in the 3x3 Rubik's Cube head-to-head.
And now I've lost twice in a row, right?
He loses twice in a row in like 3x3 one-handed and in the last episode, Pyraminx. Well, let's just go through all the different events so I can just completely... just annihilate you.
They say like lightning doesn't strike twice, but it did, and they were yeah. both locked. And it's like, okay. Fool me once, shame on
you.
You fool me twice,
still shame now on. Now it's time for skewed.
Oh,
that's good.
That's
I like that.
That's a bar.
Do you want to check that? That's an okay scramble because I mean there are actually yeah. I think
yours is pretty bad. So I'm happy.
It is actually pretty bad. Which makes my victory even sweeter. Okay, you ready? It's time to go head to head in Skewb.
I'm so bad at Skewb. Don't be surprised.
Don't worry. Me too.
If Ming gets like the Michael Jordan three-peat right now.
Jesus. Okay, here we go. 3, 2, 1, go. Oh, mistakes were made. That's not what I wanted. And now you can just have this one. Oh, wait. Yo.
Actually suck at Skewb.
A bit of luck.
No
there.
Excuses though, except the fact that I used the beginner's method.
It's the hat trick. It's the hat trick.
Wow.
Team Ming. I did it for you.
Jordan, 1993, Suns.
I did it for you guys. And did you say before that I can take all this money if I win?
We bet all of this was on the line, right? You can have this fake. I mean, real money.
You're like, I'm all in. Like, there's no way I'm going to lose.
Wow. Maybe I'm Michael Jordan with my gambling habits.
Yeah.
But let's hear from Solvebot. Anyway, Ming, you've won once this episode. Surely.
Surely
you're not about to win again.
Let's see what Solvebot thinks when it comes to money.
Welcome back to myself. And honestly, well done on your quite clever solutions. Here's what my brain thinks. Tom suggests reducing or cutting unnecessary costs, particularly on food, which is a significant part of the budget for most people. His approach encourages individuals to be more mindful of their spending habits by avoiding eating out and buying groceries in bulk or from markets. This solution is realistic and logical as it directly addresses the immediate problem of high living expenses by advocating for cost-saving measures that are within the individual's control. Ming emphasizes the importance of becoming financially literate at a young age.
Yep.
By starting to save and practice budgeting while still receiving support from parents for food and housing, individuals can develop good financial habits early on. It encourages young people to take control of their finances and seek advice from knowledgeable adults, which can have lasting benefits in navigating the challenges of the rising cost of living. While both solutions offer valuable insights, only one approach focuses on proactive financial education and planning, which can have long-term benefits in mitigating the impact of the rising cost of living. Ming's solution provides a stronger foundation for financial stability and resilience against economic challenges. Therefore, Ting Man is today's winner.
Yes.
Ting Man. Why did she say it like that? Ting Man.
There's a bit of country there. Look, Solvebot chose what Solvebot chose. I honestly have no influence over it. It actually just goes straight to ChatGPT, and then I just like ask it to choose the better of the two solutions, and this is what it says. So I'm honest here. This is what ChatGPT chose when I gave these two solutions.
The thing is, though, I may have lost once.
Yeah,
and lost again. But two L's make a W.
You're,
have I said that?
Yeah,
have I
done this joke before? You've got three L's
but
now.
Next week,
what do you do with three L's? It just becomes this weird zigzag.
La.
Yeah, la.
I'm coming back next week stronger.
If you get another L, then you get two W's.
Exactly. So that's my goal. And Solvebot's still rigged, but I'm happy for you. No, I feel like after all of these years that you've been alive. You should have the wisdom on this stuff more than me. So,
money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
not really.
You've lived through the Industrial Revolution and
the
consequences.
The Great Depression. Yeah, like that was all me.
So, Black Friday, all those Black Monday. What was the
the original?
Exactly. Yeah, all the old crashes. So you know the market.
I do know what it's like.
I think with that wisdom, I never had a chance. So,
well, we hope that at least one of the tips we gave you today could be helpful in some way, so that maybe one day you will be holding these
$5 Amazon fake money.
I don't even think it costs that much. Dude, this is one of the best things I ever bought, like prop fake money. It's actually so good. It just makes you feel like you've got it. And then you end up spending more when you actually don't have money.
Imagine like trying to use this in Australia, but it's like American fake money.
It's American fake money. Next episode, we are back. We're having a very special guest come.
Yeah.
One of the most incredible Cubers that I know. Like, all-rounder. An incredible, incredible
YouTube
guy.
YouTube star.
He's going to be helping us solve some very important problems. So
stay tuned for that.
Don't forget Tom's affiliate marketing link.
Exactly.
If you want to earn $100 within the next like 24 hours, then you're going to have to sign up within the next 24 hours.
And then get a friend to sign up.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
That's right.
It's just really confusing.
Just don't report this to anyone.
Yeah.
It's all legal. Don't worry. It's totally fine. Otherwise, Tom.
Pleasure doing business with you.
Yeah. Problem solved.
That's our new outro. Problem solved.
If you want to give me a beat, I will do my best.